Hello and welcome to Time's Yours, a Looking Through the Rearview podcast where we hear from you, the listener. We believe that everyone has a unique sports journey to share, from the highs and lows of competition to the personal growth and self-discovery that comes with pushing your limits. We're here to explore the transformative power of sports. In each Time's Yours episode, we'll be speaking with athletes and sports enthusiasts from all walks of life about their personal journeys. We'll dive deep into their triumphs, struggles, and everything in between, uncovering the valuable lessons that they've learned along the way. So, whether you're a seasoned athlete or just getting started, we hope that our conversations will inspire and motivate you to keep pursuing your own sports journey. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy, because time's yours. And with that, we have quite a special Time's Yours today.
Oh, my.
I'm sure you already can figure out who it is. We have with us my co-host from the Looking Through the Rearview podcast, Nick Ulmer. Nick Ulmer, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, AJ, how are you doing? It's going to be a little more relaxed. Thank you for having me on this segment.
You bet, buddy.
Yeah.
Doing well.
Yeah.
Oh, so, Nick, I think this is going to be fantastic because people hear you week to week on the podcast. And I was going to wait till Time's Yours number 10 to do my personal.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Time's Yours.
Right. And we'll get to, at some point, flip the script,
oh,
as they say.
Oh, my.
Because I got questions.
Oh, boy. No. But yeah, wanting to hear, and I've heard a little bit of your sports journey, but just looking forward to, and it is about, you know, your sports journey, but I mean, it's kind of just can go even further, and just kind of, you know, how sports has interacted and kind of intertwined with your life experience. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Let's get started.
Sure.
So, Nick, the first question I like
roll.
To ask here to start out is just what was your entry point from your memory of what was like an initial thing that kind of got you into sports?
I would say just even as a little kid, just going, like, even at 6 or 7 years old, going to high school football games, like watching every Friday night, watching different games, and I would go to all different kinds of games. So just watching Mannheim Central dominate for so many years. Like, that's one of my memories, is watching Mannheim Central football back in their, and they're still good. It's not that they're not good, but even in their prime,
right,
of winning so many district championships, and Matt Nagy, Jeff Smoker, a couple of the DeLong players, Nate Mass. I mean, I could go through so many different Mannheim Central football stars. And it's kind of interesting looking back, because, like, at 7 or 8, you're thinking, oh, man, like, this high school player is, like, so good, you know, and they're so cool to watch. And, like, wow, I'm standing right near them right now, you know. And it's now funny to, like, think, like, they were only 16 or 17 years mm-hmm. old, you know? And I kind of, like,
and you probably thought they were, like, gigantic.
Gigantic, but not only that, but, like, oh, they're just, like, so cool, you know? Mm-hmm. They're, like, so great. But it's, like, they're just taking classes. They're doing teenager things,
right,
you know?
Having their parents tell them what to do.
Having their parents tell them what to do. But, like, but Mannheim Central football is such a different kind of type program. But watching so many different, and going to so many different high school football games and watching different athletes, watching a couple heartbreaking losses Mannheim Central had, even to Berwick during Berwick's reign back in the 90s, but also watching some heartbreaking losses to Strathaven back in the late 90s and early 2000s. You know, a game that stands out to me, and I think this would have been either 99 or 2000. So I apologize. Like, so, but you have to realize I was only 9 or 10, but they lost a heartbreaker down at Westchester University. Mike Williams, he decides to go for two against Strathaven. He doesn't get it. And Strathaven's a beaten smoke dog down there at Westchester. I still remember the one game. It was just a fun watch. Saturday game. I think this was Jeff Smoker's junior year. I think they played up at Blue Mountain High School, which is a beautiful stadium, by the way. It's like, it's a great stadium.
Blue Mountain, where is that at?
Like up Berks County, okay. North. And actually, you know, Blue Mountain, I think technically is in Schuylkill, but I would have to look at that again. So they played, it was a day game. I still remember it was like a 1 o'clock game. They played Shamokin in that. They crushed them, but it was just like a cool game to be. But there's so many different games that I can remember. And also, that's one of the things that stands out to me growing up, going to so many different games. I remember every year, for years and years, game week one, Mannheim Central would open up against Hemfield every year.
Yeah, that's right. I remember reading it in the paper.
For years. And, I mean, they would have 10,000 fans there, regardless of where it was. I mean, they would have, you couldn't find a seat. Yeah, this is, you know, so just going back to so many different classic games and Tom Getz versus Mike Williams, and Tom Getz being a longtime Hemfield coach, Mike Williams just both had their, you know, ways about them. Just seeing them go at it just was so much fun.
And it was also pretty much dominated, though, by Central, right?
Overall, but there were a couple of times, like, that Hemfield kind of stunned them, but they were always good games too.
Right.
Maybe a couple that I can remember, maybe a couple blowouts, but not nothing. But every year it was like,
right,
week one, baby, Central and Hemfield, let's go, flip flop. So that was cool.
Yeah.
For me also, it was like growing up and going to a lot of Franklin and Marshall basketball games, so seeing a lot of just great hoops, just seeing the dip zone, that's the student section of the, so many different great moments, but also heartbreak. In the spring of 2000, I was down at the Final Four down in Virginia for that. And I remember the heartbreak of that. They lost in the national semifinal to Calvin College at the buzzer, so that was a heartbreaking loss. But there were a lot of other great moments of just seeing the Major Center packed with a lot of fans, great student section, great atmosphere. It's one of the coolest, for me, it's one of the coolest spots to watch a college basketball game. But I even think, like, 2012, the heartbreak of them losing to MIT in the Elite Eight, because in Division III, if you're the top seed of that region, you host throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So MIT comes down, and MIT, you know, they come out, like, and you're thinking, like, okay, well, this is the smartest of the smart players. They come out pre-game, and they're doing alley-oops, and I'm like, whoa, okay, they got a little swag. And I'm telling you, they played shutdown defense and held F&M, I think, to like 45 points and just stunned them. And MIT brought a student bus down. It's a good student section. I mean, it was great. And I think, like, man, like, MIT just brought it. So sometimes, even though if you're rooting for the other team, you still appreciate great moments even if your team loses.
Right.
That was like a wow moment. Like, man, MIT, man. And it just that appreciation for MIT, like, these kids that are playing hoops obviously are good at basketball, but also, like, they're geniuses. You know what I mean? Like, kind of that, wow, like, these guys are engineers and probably, you know, mathematicians. So, like, just, it's just kind of cool. So
Yeah. So, quick question off of that.
Yeah.
So, you watched a lot of sports growing up.
Yes.
So, obviously, you must have had, I mean, you're a kid, so you must have had somebody that loved sports as well taking you to these events.
Yeah, like I had some family members that were, you know, they officiated football, but also.
But, like, who took you to these Mannheim Central football games?
A lot of times I would go with my aunt and uncle.
Okay.
To Mannheim Central football games.
Yeah.
And like, through watching, you know, officiating, and watching kind of just, being kind of at times watching officials and kind of getting, you know,
watching officials?
Oh, like, my dad was an official.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Yeah,
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. So kind of
like LL League?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. For many years. Yep. So
going Is he still?
No. Nope.
Okay. What sports did he officiate?
Football.
Just football.
Yep. Yeah. So just football, and but just going to all those games.
Yeah.
Kind of learning the sport. And,
okay. Yeah, but, I didn't know that. So he officiated football. You went to a lot of football games. Did you play football?
No, I didn't. No, actually, you know what? And my buddy Cody Booth and I still laugh at this. I did play 1 year of Willow Street football.
Uh-oh.
And I was by far one of the smallest kids in the field. And how Willow Street football did it back then, well, and I'm sure they still do it, but they would play. So I guess, and we'll talk about that too, but that's another, well, how I got into sports too, is just being friends with Cody Booth and going to a lot of his football games. And, you know, his getting close with his dad as I got older, and his dad was his dad coached school district Lancaster. And, you know, I would walk down, we lived in Willow Street, so I would walk down over the hill off of Penn Grant Road, or off of Millwood Road to Penn Grant Road, and walk to Cody's house, and we would play, pick up football, and snow, sleet, rain, doesn't matter, you know, it didn't matter. We would, in the summers, we'd do a home run derby, but that's a whole other nostalgic thing I could get into, but and we'll get to that, but... So, yeah, Cody and I still laugh a bit. His dad still cracks up. But I was, like, one of the smallest guys. I mean, I didn't know how to play football. and I'm telling you, most times they would hand – I would play running back.
Oh, nice.
And most times I would just get crushed. I mean, it was just like –
What age?
Oh, this was C team? Yeah, okay. C team. So I was like – what was I – I mean, I just was bad. It's okay. I don't, you know, it doesn't.
I can see it now. Little Nick Ulmer getting the handoff.
I mean,
hesitating to get to the hole and boom.
The thing is really
John Madden. Boom.
You know, and we'll get into this, but like all through elementary school, like I'm thicker now, but whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, once you're past your prime, who cares? But when I was, you have to picture this, is, and I'll show you pictures at some point, AJ, is when I was like in elementary school, middle school, high school, I was like this. Like, I didn't lift, so I was a really lanky, skinny guy who just, I actually ran cross country, too. But I played tennis, but I wasn't a football wrestling, no, I actually did wrestle, too, but I wasn't like, oh, I gotta hit the weights.
Right.
You know, I was like, I was just naturally energetic.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, not you.
No, but back then I was 10 times worse. Not in a bad way, but just like
right. Bonkers
at times. You know, teachers, I remember still in elementary school, like a couple of teachers, they liked me, but they were like, we can't get this kid to stop calling out in class because he just wants to answer everything. So they would get me, you know, sticker charts of like, all right, well, this day you only called out once in class. Yeah. I mean, and I don't mean this in like in a cocky way at all, but like, in elementary school and middle school and high school, I knew a lot of people, but I didn't have a group per se. Like I do have a couple close friends, like a clique.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I was in chorus. But I played tennis. But I also so like I kind of just, and I do have a couple close friends from high school. But like
right. Even
I was. Like even like the next year they left and graduated high school, so I did my own thing, you know, in that sense of, but I wasn't like part of the football clique, or I wasn't
right.
part of the chorus, or like even the chorus kids and band kids, they had their own little clique. I just did a bunch of stuff and I was like overall pretty popular, but at the
right. Same
time, so I was never like nasty or rude to any teachers, but teachers now would say like, oh yeah, and like Nick almost like very energetic. And like I always had something funny to say, you know. I was the kind of the comedian, you know.
Okay.
I kind of still am, but yeah, it's always just really interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so you played football 1 year, Willow Street, running back, you're basically the tackling dummy.
Yeah. And I got crushed.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Crushed,
like you went back to the huddle crying, or
I don't know.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Any injuries that
I don't know. I was always hurting at that time. Yeah, I never really had, other than getting crushed that year. I didn't really ever have like major injuries throughout.
Nice.
Like, now, granted, I didn't play a lot of contact sport. Like,
Well, I mean, cross country, I could see like ankles could twist. Or...
But nothing. Well, there is a funny story about that. The one time I did puke after a cross country race, but it's because I drank a lot of cappuccino before a race. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. My buddies and I still laugh about that.
Yeah.
I decided to chug like a whole 16-ounce thing of cappuccino like an hour before the race.
Oh, boy.
Don't do that. So.
All right. So you started out and you saw some sports, played a season of football.
Yeah.
What was kind of like your first, what was your first sport that you really like started to train for? And
I would say train, I would say cross country, like running.
Okay.
Because I ran a lot, even before I joined cross country, seventh mm-hmm. grade year. But I think it's like kind of like a reminder, like if you do it too much, you get burnt out. Like, by my senior year after at high school, I was just, like, so burnt out from just, like, running. Like, I naturally, like, running can be great, but, like, for me, it was just, like, by the time I got to end of high school, I was like, this is no longer fun for me at all.
Right.
And I don't think I've run really since.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
just, like, but I did get serious, a little, somewhat serious, like, tennis in high school, in that our teams were not great, but I did have a good coach, great coach that I still keep in contact with today, Coach Boxleitner, John Boxleitner. Shout out to him. Just call him Box. Just saw him a couple weeks ago.
It's a cool nickname, Box.
And, yeah, and but like, oh man, we just had so much fun during those years. So we clearly weren't the best team, but we always joked that we were always out to win the sportsmanship award.
There you go.
You know? And just going on the van rides, different thing to different matches,
yeah,
and just there's always jokes, always good laughs. So it's like I look back with a lot of those memories,
mm-hmm.
and even to go past my high school now, those tennis courts are gone because of a high school construction project. It's like kind of weird to think about, but yeah, it's just so many great memories there. And but my senior year, I did take tennis lessons from he used to be the head coach at E-Town College, Matt Heitzel. But he's now the head tennis coach at Millersville. So I took lessons from him. At that point, he was at work to the Hempfield Rec giving lessons. So
okay.
It was kind of like a senior year gift to take lessons from him because we just didn't have a ton of money, but it was kind of like we want to treat you. And
yeah.
So, yeah, that was cool. And that was cool to take lessons. And but, yeah, that was a great time too. So, uh-huh. But I would say overall running, but – my junior and senior year, I started playing varsity tennis, so I was a little more into tennis. So.
Yeah. But, and you've mentioned a little bit about that on the Times Yours podcast, just as far as the some of your, you know, your tougher moments.
Oh, yeah. I still remember. Oh, my. Spring
maybe
or senior
you could
year.
You give a full detail to that story here on this.
Yeah, spring or senior year, flight 3, it would have been the semifinals and I'm sorry, quarterfinals. So it was to get to the next day of semifinals. And
this is LL League or district?
LL League.
Okay.
So the thing is like in tennis and in the leagues, you have to, in order to qualify for districts, you have to play flight 1. So,
gotcha.
But for championship stakes, they still have flight 2, flight 3, flight 4.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, there was 5 singles flights. Now, in LL League tennis, there's 4 singles and 3 doubles. Back then, there were 5 singles and 2 doubles.
Oh, okay.
And you could... So, but yeah, I was playing up at Warwick, and I had a couple of friends skip school that day, actually, to come and watch me. And just, like, I could fall my... I could... You can, you know, like when you're in that moment, you could just sense things are falling apart. And the wheels came off, and I think it was just that emotional realization, too, of like my 4 years of playing tennis is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thrilled about this. And so I did smash my racket that day, and I,
right. And I remember,
but I wasn't mad at it. I wasn't being a poor sport. It wasn't like I, you know. It was just more
you
of just
McEnroe-ing
like,
it.
I wasn't McEnroe-ing it. No, I was more in my own moment.
Yeah.
You just let players sometimes have their moment. So, yeah, it just was like, man, like this, it's not like, because it's like, you know, I've had tennis matches back then where I didn't play well. That's one thing. But it was more like that, oh, like, wow, I have only like 1 or 2 more games to go. And this guy's just outworking me. And I could see it coming to an end. And it didn't end as gracefully as I wanted to. But that's okay. You know, I think that's sometimes emotions come out in sports. And I was only, you know, 18. And I didn't want to come to an end. And it came to an end. But I still shook his hand. You know, I wasn't mad at the player. I shook his hand. And
right.
But yeah, so it was just kind of one of those moments like, oh, this sucks. It's coming to an end. So, yeah. But yeah, so kind of my mix of sports. So I would say I love high school. I still love going to high school sports stuff.
Yeah.
I would say that in some ways high school sports has lost some of its edge a little bit at times, it feels like. But
okay.
I have been encouraged post-COVID to see it, to still see arenas filled at times or gyms. Like, we went to that LA championship game, and I thought, wow, remember the last time I was like in an environment like that, like just packed and well played and coached, and you know, I felt like that was more my nostalgic feel about it. Like, you don't get games like this anymore, but you know, it's cool.
Remind
to see
me, Hemfield versus
Mannheim Central.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's cool to still see.
No, I hear what you're saying about that too. Because even my friend of mine from my church community. Shout out to Justin Weaver. I think I shouted him out before and have mentioned this on the other podcast, but he sent me a video of him in high school at LMH. And I mean, I think that was probably pre cell phone as well.
Mm.
But even like you talk about, even watching this documentary on the Philadelphia Sixers, 76ers versus the Celtics in the 80s, I mean, it felt like the fans were like, I don't know what's the right word to say, just. I mean, 100% fully invested.
Yeah. Now like it seems like at times, like, the NBA is more of an entertainment game.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah,
and that's,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kind of like, okay, it's great we have tickets. It's fun that we're going. But if they lose, tough loss, kind of nonchalant.
Right.
We can get in, like, but, yeah, like, and this is one thing that you'll appreciate. Because, and really, it wasn't that long ago. Like, we're not talking 50 years ago. We're talking 20 to 25 years ago now, but like the essence of having to wait for outcomes. So what I'm talking about is sports scores of like, so I loved high school football. I didn't know who won in other games until either A, I stayed up late. If I felt like I wasn't tired or too tired, I would stay up and watch Football Friday at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or B, I wouldn't find out until the next morning and read it in the paper. So just that, like, oh, I wonder who won, and you mm-hmm. know, I wonder, like wanting to know that score, and like, okay, should I stay up and try to see if they cover the game, and if they don't cover the game, right. I want to read about it the next morning. Like, there's none of that anymore.
Yeah,
we know right away all the time, and that's cool sometimes, but sometimes it's like, oh, like just the, like I remember even like in other sports, just like, oh. I wonder who won. You know, I'm not going to be able to read about it until tomorrow morning. You know, you don't get that anymore.
Right.
You know? So,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I remember every Saturday morning just, like, reading the paper. For an hour at least, I would be reading and scanning the, I want to read about this game. And just now, like, when it comes out the next morning, it's like, I kind of already read about it.
And I saved newspapers growing up as a kid of special moments. And I went back. They're still in my parents' attic. I should probably get them and put them somewhere so they can last a little longer. But the newspapers were wider, so you could get
absolutely.
More words. And
much more in-depth, much more wider. Hey, if it were me, my friends always laugh at me. It's like, Nick, you're so old school. If it were me, baby, we'd be going back to old school, and Lancaster newspapers would still have two newspapers. remember the new era in the Intel?
The new era in the evening. Intel in the morning.
You know, and you just,
what were you a fan of?
Both.
Okay.
But
you get both?
I would read both if there was available. I didn't get both, but like I had, like my grandparents had both. I just loved reading both. They're just fun. But you don't get that anymore.
No.
You barely get a newspaper.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, I would read both too, but I was definitely an Intelligencer Journal guy.
Right, but just even like, oh, that's kind of cool. The New Era comes out right. in the afternoon, and the New Era has a brand new staff, you know, right. different staff, different right. takes on the, you know.
Right.
It's like, if you miss it in the morning, come out in the afternoon.
Oh, and then COVID killed the sports page.
It did.
So they stopped printing the sports page. Now, I think Saturday, because I still get the paper, Saturday has its own sports page. And Sunday, what do they call that? Just the Sunday paper?
Yes.
That has.
Yeah, Sunday paper's like.
That still has all their sections
right,
for the most part.
I do like the Sunday paper still. Right now, I get the Wednesday and the Sunday paper. And then I have a Langstra Online subscription that I do enjoy. But AJ, you probably didn't know that I used to be also a water boy.
Another movie I haven't seen, but no. Hey, The Water Boy for Pymantor football?
No, team? So me and Cody Booth, when his dad was coaching at McCaskey, him and I think we were...
McCaskey Varsity?
Yeah, we were water boy
Mr.
for...
Booth did that.
Two or three seasons, yeah. Chris Booth was an assistant on Feldman's staff for...
Feldman, that name's familiar.
Yeah, the head coach at McCaskey from like 97 or 98 till 2000, maybe 6 or 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did he coach?
Huh?
What did he coach?
Chris?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, for a while he was the Lincoln football coach.
Right, I knew that.
But then he was, I don't know exactly.
I mean, did he coach linebackers? Did he coach?
I can't remember, I'll have to ask him, but he was like an assistant, though, on Feldman's staff.
Okay.
Not just, oh, well, I have to come up and stand on the sideline because I'm a junior high coach. He then was an assistant
gotcha.
Coach for a
yeah.
couple years, and I forget what year this was.
Oh, so he had the Perry Patterson
game. Oh, yeah. Like, Chris was a part of the staff. And that's another thing. Like, Chris was a part of the staff of, like, back then in the district, like, in districts. Like, if you made the district district tournament back then, you were 9-1 or 10-0.
Right.
Like, you weren't 5-5 making a 16-team tournament. Like, back then, and back when they had four classes, it was, like, top four made it.
Right.
But I still remember I was a water boy that year, and
you and Cody?
Cody. And they played at Hershey Park. They played Cumberland Valley in the district final. And Perry Patterson got hurt, and Angel Santana stepped in to be quarterback, and they lost. I think it was like 28-18. Kind of a weird score, but it was such a cool experience of like being a water boy. Like, cool, I get to be a little down in the locker rooms in Hershey Park.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just, like, kind of, like, I'm, like, what, 7 or 8 years, or 9 years old. I'm, like, you know, this is cool. So, yeah, Cody and I were water boys for a couple of years.
Wow, well, add that to your resume.
I should, because I knew what I was doing back then, too. I still know.
Just a little bit off topic, yeah. Not really, but I was disappointed to see that they no longer play the Big 33 game at Hershey Park.
I know. Man. And they don't even play the state championship at Hershey Park.
I know.
I will say, though, Cumberland Valley, I went to a couple state championships this past fall. Cumberland Valley's stadium is legit.
Okay.
Very nice. Even cool, like, introduction, like lights flashing as you're
Ooh,
entering the field.
Wow.
Beautiful field house that has, like, an indoor practice turf field.
Indoor?
Oh, yeah. For their team, yeah. But it's...
Is this where John Ritchie went to school?
Yes. John Ritchie did go to school at Cumberland Valley. But, so I because... Part of me was like, oh, this is going to be so weird, not because I've been to different state championship games. You know, I've been to even a couple of Lancaster Catholic state championship football games. And I thought, like, this is going to be really weird. And it lasted for like 10 minutes. I'm like, wow, this is weird. It's not at Hershey Park. And then I was like so blown away by how nice of a stadium the Cumberland Valley was and how good of a job they did of hosting, just even the parking and logistics of it being right next to the school. I'm thinking, this is awesome.
What kind of parking lot do they have at their school to bring?
Oh, massive. Like, it's like a massive parking lot, yeah. And I'm thinking, like, wow, I didn't even feel like it was that. Now, granted, you do have some schools that are coming out from, you know, Western Pennsylvania that are going to make
right.
that trek. So you don't, but just even thinking, like, wow, like, yeah, the parking lot's packed, but you still are parked pretty close.
Okay.
Brand new scoreboard, brand new, you know, just really well done. Thinking like
turf, yeah,
beautiful, yeah,
right.
I can't see them. I mean, they, I think they have a 4-year bid on it, so they have it for another 3 years. So, okay. It would stun me to, for Hershey Park to get it back. Now they lost the Cumberland Valley because unless I missed something, like if I'm thinking from the PAA chair board and I'm going to some of these games, I'm thinking this is a great place and it's still pretty central because it's in Harrisburg.
Is it completely enclosed?
But. It reminds me a little bit of like, now it's nicer, but like back in the day when they had the state championships at Mansion Park in Altoona, pre Hershey Park.
Okay, I never was at a game.
Okay, but like big, pretty seats, about 10,000.
Okay.
And Mansion Park was kind of the spot that, you know, for many years Altoona was the host before Hershey Park outbid them. But out Mansion Park kind of has a similar feel to Cumberland Valley, like big stadium, nice high school. So, yeah, it was just really cool to kind of say, okay, well. So sometimes I don't always deal the best with change, as you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But I mean, in terms of high school football, you know, I still to this day the greatest game that I've ever watched or been at person at is the 2003 Mannheim Central versus Pine Richland. Triple A state championship game back when they had 4 classes.
Is that in the snow?
Oh, yeah. And I encourage you, anyone who's listening to this, if you ever have, and I'm sure you do, so don't make excuses, but if you have 3 hours to watch a football game and think.
On YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube or however you want to watch it. I don't care how you.
Well, where would you find it else?
Well, yeah, I'm old school, something in tape, but that's not.
Go back and watch the tape.
Yeah, that's right. Go read about it in the paper. But, yeah, it is.
That's a smoker team?
No, this is post Smoke Dog. This is 03. This is like the
Smoker never won one.
No, Smoker okay. never won.
He lost in the finals, I think.
No, he never lost. He never made it to the finals. Okay, no.
And what quarterback won that one?
Why am I blanking on the quarterback at that? I believe was it Myers? Last name was Myers.
Okay.
But from start to finish. So, and here's the other thing is people don't realize, like, the PAA, from what I gathered, the PAA was very close to calling this game because it was snowing so hard, and it snowed harder throughout the game, that they were worried about, like, fans getting home. And
probably
so,
in today's age, they would have canceled
with
all the weather apps.
Oh, absolutely. Here's the other kicker is, and people need to realize this, this game would have never happened had the previous year Hershey Park was still being played on grass. That fall was the first year on turf. So that makes your ability to shovel and to get snow off the field so much easier.
Okay.
If you're on grass.
This one was at Altoona?
No, Hershey Park.
No, but this one that they won.
No, Hershey Park.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The next year it was.
No, I'm sorry. This is, so 2000, no, Hershey Park had. It moved to Hershey Park in 98.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I believe 97, fall 97, during one of Berwick's last years or making their run.
Okay.
Was at Mansion Park. But you go back to 98 was the first year of Hershey Park. But
okay.
grass, 99, 2000. 2003 is when they put the turf in. And that first year.
Oh, I didn't know they had turf there at Hershey
Park.
Yes. Okay.
But this was the first season that they put turf in.
Gotcha.
And I thought, man, that game would have never happened because there's no way you're playing on grass in that snow, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And they're shoveling like throughout the game, and it is snowing harder and harder. But
were you at that game?
I was thinking about going with some family members, but I decided not to go. I was actually down at Cody Booth's house, and it was snowing hard in Lancaster too. For people that are listening outside of Pennsylvania, Hershey is not that far from Lancaster, but so Cody and I were like playing out in the snow, but then we came in to like watch the game, and we were watching it like on this television. I mean, I glued to the TV, and it's one thing like if it's the snow, it's great, it's fun to watch a football game like that. It's the clutch play after clutch play after clutch play that is just like absolutely incredible. I mean, in those adverse conditions, high scoring, and a triple overtime, and the way that it ends is a blocked extra point for Mannheim Central to win. And I've heard this over and over, not just from one person, that had it gone past the third overtime, the PWA was going to call it and call it a tie.
Oh.
And Mannheim's not knowing this, it's not like they told everyone then, but from what I gathered that.
Right.
But Sean Wilt, number 87, he comes off the one side. And blocks the extra point and wins the state championship. And it's kind of crazy to think that Mike Williams has only ever won one, because he's lost two other times in the state championship. And then Hahn has lost one other time. So Central is not – it's kind of funny for as great as Central is. Their record in the state championship isn't the best. So – but here's the thing.
But you got to get there to have a record.
You got to get there to have a record. Now, people don't – here's the thing is people don't get – what they don't get about that season is that game was phenomenal, but it doesn't happen if they – to the previous week, and I was up in New York City with my mom, and I was so mad I couldn't go, but – I still remember that because my mom was like, I'm calling people to get scores, like score updates. Because this is pre, like you can't check Twitter. This is pre-Twitterverse, right? This is
pre-cell phone.
So her and I kind of wanted to go kind of like near, ground zero and see the,
because
this is only 2 years after.
While they're still probably clearing it away. Yeah.
But here's the thing is, so Mannheim Central the week before down at Coatesville, like 35-40 mile per hour winds, they beat Strathaven 3-0, 3-0 to get to that state championship. That state championship doesn't even happen if they don't beat Dan Connor and Strathaven. So Dan Connor would be playing at Penn State. And Dan Connor was a beast. And I'm talking like, I don't know if you remember Dustin Pashotti, who played at Central Bucks West back in the day. But this guy, Dan Connor, was a monster, right? They play Strathaven down at Coatesville. And that game was a day game, Saturday day game, in swirling winds in like mud because, it was just a phenomenal game. And here's the other tidbit about a lot of people don't know is during the pregame, they do kind of like in soccer, how you do a cleat check. They do a cleat check of Strathaven, and like half their team has illegal cleats on, too thick of cleats.
Mm.
And right then and there, they could have forfeited the game. Like Mike Williams kind of could have said,
we win, forfeit,
but he says, no, let them change it.
Okay.
So they go out and change it. But Mannheim Central wins 3-0. And Mannheim Central, late in the game, on their own, I believe it was 10-yard line, go for it on 4th-and-1 to run out the clock. And Mike Williams goes for it and wins the game. It is one of the clutchest moments. Because if you don't get that, you lose. Because
right.
Strathaven's going to get the ball back with about a couple minutes left. They're going to score, probably.
Yeah.
But the thing is Mike Williams said, hey, if we want to get to the championship, it's windy as heck here. If we got this, we win. And if you know what,
even if we don't get it, maybe they miss the. If we can hold the field goal, maybe
true.
They win.
But like, but it's so close.
Or at least a
there.
Tie, yeah.
But like, you don't hear of that. You know, you
right.
don't hear of people going for their own 10-yard line. You
right.
know, you just don't.
Unless you're Doug Peterson.
Right. Unless you're Doug Peterson. But Mike Williams probably thinking, well, if we're putting into the wind,
right?
Like, why even try to punt? And it's muddy and it's windy and it's like, you know what? We haven't been to a state championship as a team. I couldn't get there with Nagy. I couldn't get there with Smoke Dog. All those heartbreak years of losing to Berwick and not getting there. And he's like, gosh darn it, I'm going for it. And I'm getting our team to, and he gets there. And then the next week, they win the Blizzard. I don't think people recognize of how clutch those 2 weeks were. And everyone talks about the Snow Blizzard, and it's probably one of the best games. But people often forget that they had to beat Strathaven 3-0 the week before. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
Nice.
And then next year, they do get back, and they lose to Thomas Jefferson in the state championship. And they beat Berwick then that year to get to the state championship in 04. So that was kind of cool. But, like, that 03 team, just a memorable team. The way they got there, the 1 week, 3-0. The next week, 38-35 in the snow. So talking about, like, rain and wind, the next week snow. Cold, yeah.
3-0, 38-30, yeah.
And this fall will be the 20th anniversary. And I just can't believe it's been 20 years since that happened. So.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, there's my nostalgic kind of Mannheim Central.
Well, if you can't hear it, listeners, you can definitely tell the passion that Nick has.
Yeah. And it's just...
So...
And here's the other thing is that fall, So Mannheim Central won that in the fall. That spring was the Lancaster Catholic boys, the 35-0 run.
Okay.
And it was the first year at the Giant Center, you know, because the Hershey Park Arena kind of, they didn't close their doors, but Giant Center opened, and Lancaster Catholic goes 35-0, and you know, Greg Testa era, and they beat Perry Traditional Academy. And
they had a football player on that team, too. What was his name?
Purvis?
Purvis, yeah.
Great team. So that spring, state championship next fall.
I know all about that team.
Do you?
Well, my first year head coach at E-Town High School, and we scrimmaged them. And what was their coach's name? Tall guy. I can't remember his name. He's a neat guy. Anyway, they just crushed us. So, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't put the blame on the coach, though, you know.
So, Nick.
Yeah.
You do these sports, and then you're in college, you didn't play any sports, right?
No, but I did coach my
So, I wanted to kind of go into that. So, you've kind of stayed in the sports realm through coaching. Tell us a little bit about your coaching experience.
Well, maybe I still will get into it at some point, but I decided maybe I should have changed my major in college. Maybe I shouldn't have. I don't know. You can't. Hindsight's, you know, I could go on and on. We could have a 2-hour hindsight podcast. I don't know. At that point, I thought I wanted to teach, and then I student taught. So I don't know. It just didn't work out, and it's okay. You can still use your degree in other ways, you know.
Right.
And I still have a college degree, whatever. I don't know. It's a long. Maybe I should start a. Maybe you and I should go to sports podcasting full time, maybe. But I did coach in college, and I coached tennis at Fleetwood High School. Assistant coach. Fun. I coached the girls and boys team. And then post college, I for a little while, worked at the IU-13. And during that time, that's when I helped you coach junior high basketball, which was a great. Although we didn't win much. And by much, I mean more than one win. Wow, what a team. What a team. It will go down in the history books of Lincoln.
What a run.
What a run it was. Well, it's funny is because I always thought, like, wow, like, yeah, you really can lose a lot. Wow, losing sucks. And losing more than one, like, losing one or two times is like, okay, well, yeah, this is, but man, we lost a lot that year. But it wasn't, I did not feel like it was a reflection of what we were doing on the court. I look back at that season thinking we were doing the best with what we got.
Right.
We had a lot of great practices. It just game time, just wouldn't have it. And then in that spring, I coached boys tennis. And in the fall, I coached girls tennis at McCaskey. And took a little break off from coaching. And now back at it with 12U soccer. Never thought I would win again. But it's been...
Oh, you didn't win at tennis?
Well, we weren't great, but we weren't terrible. But we were, you know, I don't know, 500 maybe, if that.
Okay.
But soccer, I thought, all right, I got to get the monkey off my back and start winning some games or my coaching resume is not going to look great. So it has been fun this spring because, listen, it's rec soccer. It's not all about winning, and I think that's what we preach to our boys. So I don't, but I will say, I mean, who's not going to admit that? It has been fun to win.
Oh, yeah, it's always fun to win.
It's always fun to win.
Yeah.
So I hope today that we can, finish off on a good note because our boys have made a lot of progress since March. And I will say it's been the most interesting that I've coached. Like just that age group is just funny. They some of the things they say is just, yeah. Some of them test my patience. Some of them don't. There's some that have a lot of energy. You know, we do have one player that reminds me a lot of how I was at his age. And I think you know who I'm talking about, but that's how I was.
First letter?
J. That's how I was.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
as I get frustrated,
right?
I was bonkers like that.
Right.
And I'm still kind of bonkers. That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. Okay.
But I was that's
funny that
how
you see yourself
I
in him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's how I was.
Okay.
I was you know, always, yeah. you know, bouncing around and
sticker charts.
Yeah, sticker charts of And it, like I said, it wasn't anything about like
no, right.
nasty behavior. It was just right. like.
Same with our player. He, yeah, he's just, he's like.
To, yeah, like teachers would be like, all right, well, Nick, that's like the fourth time you call out in class. Like, we're going to have to put you on a chart, you know? And it was just a nip at it. Like,
right.
Because I just always wanted to answer, you know? Hey, right. I want to, hey, oh, I know yeah. that answer. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I just would never raise my hand.
Right.
Sometimes I still don't raise my hand. So, yeah, but, yeah, that Wall Street football team,
ooh.
I was not even the fifth best running back. I mean, I was bad. That's okay. You got to admit when you suck sometimes. But I was bad, and Cody and I used to laugh about it, and I would just get crushed. I wouldn't even know how to cut, you know?
Right. So yeah. Looking back on your sports experience, you know, and it's still growing because of your coaching time, but what would be some of the things that were we laugh about it on our regular podcast, but some of the moments of adversity that you can look back on besides the tackling dummies?
Moments of adversity?
Well, I mean, like, you said spoke about the one at the semifinal match in tennis, but were there any moments that were tough? You know, whether it would be injury or you're not getting like the playing time, or maybe you had a disagreement with the coach. What would be some moments that were, yeah, that didn't go easily for you?
I would say, like, I don't know if this is more adversity, not adversity, but kind of like I hit my peak running like sophomore and junior year. So like my senior year, I lost a lot of my friends that ran with me a lot of those years. And I think it's like a good remember that people don't real like, especially at the high school age or even middle school age, like when you, like, yes, you should do sports for yourself to be competitive, but like sometimes just that's why they say like any team is just year to year. It's hard to like kind of keep that momentum. Like just my senior year, I lost all my friends to college, and yeah. like it just wasn't as fun.
And my I know brother, that it's my not, brother speaks about that on
and
his
I
podcast
know that
too.
It's not as I know that. It's not all supposed to be fun. I know that you're supposed to compete, but like, I ran with those guys.
Makes a huge difference.
It does. And it's just like, I think, so on top of being a little burnout from running, but also, and I could have dealt with it. It just was like, I don't even know, like a lot of these guys I was not as close with. It just
right.
so it was kind of like running them with, you know, even we weren't great runners. Like, we weren't phenomenal. We were decent, but we weren't phenomenal even my freshman, sophomore, junior year, but I had someone to run with every at practice. And yeah, I ran with people my senior year, but I wasn't close with them, and just so it kind of zapped that out of me. So I kind of had to find it was like I'm one of the rare ones that would say that my junior year was probably my better year overall, not only sports-wise but just having fun-wise.
Yeah.
Senior year yeah. I kind of had to reinvent a little bit of like who am I going to be friends with? And I thought I was...
Was Cody a year ahead of you?
No. Cody was not.
But
Cody and I were
close, country.
But the thing is, you have to realize this. And it's nothing against Cody. Like, we were just two totally different kind of sports guys. Like, Cody was playing football and basketball and had that group of friends. And,
right.
Like, and to this day, like, he's coaching football out in Idaho. And, like, we were close, but we had different groups of kind of friends.
Right.
So even though him and I were close from the childhood speaking... Like, we didn't, like, yeah, we hung out at times, but, like, he was doing his thing, I was doing my thing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, yep. and it yep. wasn't bad feelings. It was just, we were just too dolly.
Right.
Like, Cody's, like, the most, one of the most fit guys you can see. You know, I'm kind of an average Joe, you know, and that, like, it doesn't matter. I'm just, I'm saying.
Right.
You know, but, like, him and I, if we saw each other tomorrow, we would talk about things like 20 years ago, you know, like, just one of those friendships that no matter where we are yeah. in life, that we just catch up.
Right.
But even in high school, it was kind of that way. Like, hey, you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing. Mm-hmm. So senior year, I started hanging out with some of his guys. But, like, it's kind of like starting. I just kind of started over it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, so yeah, even my, oh, here's the other thing. It's the same guys that ran cross country with me, played tennis with me. So,
wow. Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. You just,
absolutely.
I still had fun my senior year of tennis. But it's kind of like, oh, yeah, like all my guys that I played with for 4 years, you know, 3 years, so.
I mean, I feel like it's the same thing that the Philadelphia Eagles are trying to do, build that camaraderie. And I mean, that makes, to me, it's about competition, but you'll compete at a higher level when you're competing with people that you enjoy being around.
Yes, absolutely. So, but, you know, and, you know, senior year, I decided to try some different things. You know, I decided to kind of go out a little of my comfort zone and took an AP class, which I never took before, and took AP government, which was hard. You know, I passed that AP test, but it was like a little bit out of my realm, like a little out of my comfort zone, because, I mean, I'll just say it, like, we had 10 people in that class, and I bet you I was maybe 9th or 10th out of that, right? Not, and I'm not down on myself, I'm just, I was with, taking classes with some great, like, great all-time students at Penn Manor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like...
Some goats.
Oh, I was, yeah, that class had some goats, and I was a sheep. No, but, like, I was kind of, I forced myself to kind of just say, you know what?
Experience it, yeah.
Yeah, experience it, and, like, it was great in that it did, looking back, like, it does make you realize sometimes when you put yourself up against people that might be on another level of you, it just makes you push yourself more.
Absolutely.
So, I got a C in the class, but I worked hard for it.
Right.
And I got a 3 on the test, so I got college credit for it, but, like, It was probably one of the hardest times I've worked. Like, I didn't get many C. I think it was my only C in high school.
Okay.
But it wasn't because I was slacking off. It was tough.
Right.
But so what? You know, so it was kind of like a good C in that sense. Like, mm-hmm. It just taught me how to appreciate, wow, this is totally a different realm of an honors or college prep class. This is a different level at that point.
Right.
So, but just even... Yeah, so I think it's just a good reminder that sometimes even year to year, your competitiveness can change based off who you're playing with.
Yeah.
You know, but so yes.
Nice.
She knew, and I did mock trial that year, and that was fun. And, you know, so I kind of did some different things and still did chorus. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, man, I think we could go on for hours and hours,
but we
should probably start to wrap it up here a little bit. But just kind of to end the podcast here, what would be, and like we talked about, you have interest and desire to, like, continue coaching when it kind of fits your schedule and things like that, but
that's
kind of looking over just the totality of what it's been so far, what are some of the lasting legacies that you see coming out of just your sports experience?
I would say one thing I definitely have learned, not only from doing sports, but watching enough sports and just seeing what works and doesn't work, and I just have seen this over and over, of just parents, it's a reminder to not, it's great to want your kid to do well, that's phenomenal, but you can very easily burn out your kid. And it's a good reminder, like, I kind of, if you're a parent, you have a kid doing their sport, regardless if they're very good at it, or regardless if they're not good at it, think about, Is it for me, or is it for my kid?
Yeah.
And I've seen that go the wrong way. I've seen it go the right way. Of parents, it's like parents almost create this. It's like they're living through their kid. You know, of the hustle and bustle of going to all these travel games and sports, and I want my kid to be in this and that, and it's like, are you doing it for you? Are you doing it for your kid? Does your kid really want... And listen, if your kid really wants to be the next best athlete, that's great. Hey, all the power to him. But, like, just that balance of, it's great for your, as a parent and as a coach, to want your players to be great, but especially as a parent, I have seen it just go the wrong way, where the kid gets burnt out, and it's just that pressure from the parent.
Yeah.
And they get to their senior year of high school, or they get to their freshman year of college, and they are just burnt out from their sport. And it's like, you kind of find out later from conversations that they started to lose that over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
And here, and their parent just becomes devastated. And it's like, because it almost seems like you weren't doing it for your kid. It almost seems like you were doing it for you.
Right.
So that's like another theme. Another theme
that's
I've seen.
That's a big
seen,
one, yeah. Go ahead.
Big theme. That's one big theme that I just have seen consistently. It's just parents, especially parents and even coaches, like, why do you want this kid to be good? Because, is it because you kind of want it to for you?
Right.
Or is it because you want it for them?
Right.
To kind of don't lose that focus. And another one is that and this seems so like, oh, well, yeah, it makes sense, is that I have been part of teams that have been horrible, that I've had a blast on because of my coach. And I look back thinking, yeah, I mean, I do want to win, and that's not, that's important. But I appreciate almost those moments more of maybe not being part of a great team, but just a coach that teaches sportsmanship and also that, yeah, it's about the sport, but it's how do I teach you become a better person?
Mm.
I've had, I look back with more of those memories than I do. And I, now granted, like this year we're winning and it's been fun though, because we still teach sportsmanship, but I've been like, even think back into like Wall Street football, even though I wasn't good, like, yeah, they were decent, but like, some, to me, like some of the coaches were like, were nasty. Yeah. It's like, kind of remember to like, yeah, it's fun to win, but it's like, if you're part of a team that wins, but your coach or coaches are just negative and are like downright nasty towards you. I've seen players and parents lose interest in the sport quicker than, you know what, my team's not great, but I love the coach.
Yeah.
So I think that's another, kind of another theme that I've taken away, is that, yep, it's absolutely more fun to win. No doubt. I will never say that it's not. It is more fun to win. Right. Let's be honest. But at the same time, I want to be, if I'm going to win though, I want to be playing and or coaching with someone who preaches other things that are important,
right?
And not just drive you into the ground. Because I've seen players and I've seen coaches, and I've even talked to coaches that have coached with other coaches. They're like, yeah, it's like, it hasn't been a fun season. Yeah, we're good, but like, I don't even enjoy coaching with that coach. Like, have fun while you're winning too. You know,
right?
You can do that. You can have fun while you're winning. It doesn't, mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to. Yeah. I mean, so winning itself is fun, but it's like, if you're not having fun while you're winning, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And not enjoying the ride. So,
right.
So yeah, those are the two kind of themes that I see. Yeah.
Man, that was awesome. Yeah, and well said. And I think all of us can definitely learn something from that. And man, it's been great.
Yeah,
and
I love hearing.
Like I said, I love hearing people's stories.
And I could
stories
talk for hours, and it's not, yeah. But it's not about, well, today it's about me, but.
That is, it's time's yours.
Time's yours, yeah, but it's not about me. It's just, that's just what I have seen, just watching enough sports and at times being more of a part of it in the last 10 years of being coaching, just seeing the good, bad, and ugly of loving a sport and or getting burnt out by a sport. And just, you know, what's the finish line look like?
Yeah.
And is it attainable?
Right.
Yeah.
Nick, amazing. Yeah,
thanks,
sir.
It's been a pleasure to be part of Time's Yours. You know, and as I sit here and ponder about what's next, who knows?
So. Who knows? And yeah, and you're still a relatively young spring chicken. 32, you said?
Yeah, turning 33 in July. I mean, I'm past my prime in terms of sports, but
hey,
I can still coach them.
I mean, we've got some golf summer plans, so.
Wait, yeah, better get warmed up for that. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Nick.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Listeners out there, we hope you've enjoyed hearing from Nick Ulmer and learning from his personal sports journey. And remember, everyone's journey in sports is unique, and it's important to celebrate our own victories, big or small. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned athlete, we encourage you to keep pushing yourself and chasing your dreams. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a review and sharing with your friends and family. Give us a follow on Twitter with the handle @ThruRearview, capital T for through, capital R for rearview. And don't forget to tune in next time for more inspiring stories and valuable insights. Thank you for listening to Time's Yours, a Looking Through the Rearview podcast. And until next time, keep striving towards your goals and making positive impacts through the world of sports.